Today is the annual post-Burning Man show. Before we get into that, I've got a commentary and one article to read, and then I invite callers to phone in with your experiences of Burning Man if you went there, either this year or previous years, or questions you have about Burning Man. So this is going to be your show. First, I'm going to read a commentary. Well, the Nevada County Board of Supervisors followed the leads of both Grass Valley and Nevada City Councils in showing their complete gutlessness by refusing to consider medical cannabis dispensaries for their areas. In an impressive display of political courage, they put off the decision for yet another year. Way to go, Supes. Their leadership seems to consist of, let's do nothing and hope this issue just goes away. All the reasons cited for refusing permission do sound somewhat convincing, until one considers the experience of the neighboring town of Colfax, situated a few miles away just over the county line in Placer County. And one confronts the fact that Colfax has had a cannabis dispensary for over 5 years now, with none of the problems Nevada County is supposedly afraid of. Meanwhile, Nevada County patients with cannabis recommendations will have no legal access to their medicine. Notice that amongst the vast pharmacopoeia prescribed by physicians, cannabis is the only one so ostracized. The more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. Next item. The self-appointed function of the party out of power is to complain mightily about everything the majority party tries to accomplish. The object is to make the other guys look bad, and by default, maybe you can fool voters into thinking you could do better. Logic and common sense and what might be good for the country go right out the window. You have to feel a bit sorry for the Republicans this silly season, as with the notable exception of health care reform, Obama's policies are so much the same as his Republican predecessors that there's really no room to complain. The economy? Obama hasn't done a single thing that Bush would not have done. He appointed the same foxes to guard the hen house that Bush would have, and their policies are duplicates of what got us into trouble under Bush. Iraq? Afghanistan? Show me a difference. Same old, same old. The poor old GOP and right-wing whack jobs are left to flap their gums over Obama delivering a speech to school kids. Wow, really nation-shaking stuff. Oh yeah, they got some poor guy to resign because he once signed a petition that asked for a congressional investigation into Bush administration handling and perhaps involvement in 9/11. Zounds and gadzooks. It seems that the right to freedom of expression does not extend to possible future cabinet appointees. Next item. Mainstream media is reporting that the good old USA is not only the largest supplier of weapons to the world, we sell 10 times that of the second place nation of Italy. USA! USA! Makes my heart swell with pride. How about you? Next item. Brazil has just announced that they'll be buying 36 top-of-the-line jet fighters from France. One simple question. Why? Assuming Brazil fears its neighbors, all of its borders are thick jungle. It seems the U.S. is not the only nation with leaders who border on the insane. Next item. In an astonishing newscast on BBC, reporting on the recently concluded trial of British Muslim extremists who were attempting or planning to blow up airliners, it was revealed the ingredients that were to be used. The soft drink powder Tang and hydrogen peroxide. That's right. BBC just told us how to blow up an airliner. Does it get any weirder than that? And for today's final example of leadership by the incompetent, we bring you two separate news items and challenge you to explain how they fit together. Firstly, we have an agency of the federal government telling the state of California that it has had such continuing serious problems in providing both physical and mental health care to its incarcerated inmates, that the only remaining solution is to either build more prisons, which we can't afford to do, or let some of those inmates out of those overcrowded prisons. Okay, got that? Our prisons are presently overcrowded, and we can't afford to build new ones. Now couple that with today's news that the sheriff of Yuba County is in process of raiding homeless tent camps and threatening the homeless with jail if they do not vanish from the sight of wealthier citizens who do have a place to sleep at night. Sacramento is in the process of similar draconian solutions to their homeless problem. And where will these nonviolent homeless be jailed? Into our already overcrowded prison system, of course. Brilliant! You gotta love it. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm close to thinking that we might be better served by tossing out all elected officials, including law enforcement management, and giving their jobs to the homeless. Could they make stupider decisions than the ones presently drawing paychecks? All right, that's my commentary for today. I'm going to read you one article. In case you haven't been following the news closely, there was a journalist in, I believe it was Afghanistan, who was embedded and released a photograph of a Marine who was horribly injured and later died. And then it was up to various newspapers and wire services whether they wanted to publish that. Some of them went ahead and did publish it, and they caught all sorts of flack from Defense Secretary Gates on down. One of my favorite blogsters is Fred Reed. This is his commentary on that. Killing America's kids. No big deal. Hey, they breed fast in Tennessee. The web is covered in stink today because of a reporter for the Associated Press, Julie Jacobson, who photographed the death of a Marine whose legs had just been blown off. The kid was Joshua Bernard, a Lance Corporal of 21 years. When the photo appeared, Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, furiously tried to get the AP to quash the photo. It didn't, to its everlasting credit. To quote one of the many accounts on the web, Gates followed up with a scathing letter to Curley of the Associated Press yesterday afternoon. The letter says Gates cannot imagine the pain Bernard's family is feeling right now, and that Curley's lack of compassion and common sense in choosing to put out this image of their maimed and stricken child on the front page of multiple newspapers is appalling. The issue here is not law, policy, or constitutional right, but judgment and common decency. I thought a long time before writing about this matter, and was not pleasant to be around. The photo resonated with me, as we say. You see, long ago in another pointless war, promoted by another conscienceless secretary, I too was a Marine Lance Corporal of 21 years. I too got shot, though not nearly as badly as this kid, and spent a year at Bethesda Naval Hospital. At this point, I'm legally blind following my 13th trip to eye surgery as a result of an identical foreign policy. Big F deal. Stuff happens. At this point, I'm comfortable and doing fine. Don't cry for me. The other kid is dead. But that bothers me. And all of this perhaps gives me a certain insight into the matter that not all reporters have, nor all editors. It also makes me poisonously, bottle-throwing angry to think about another chilly professional bureaucrat, the second coming of McNamara, with less combat experience than Tinkerbell, sending kids to croak in weird places having nothing to do with the U.S. But Gates, the word decency and unconscionable coming from him are feted with hypocrisy. Gates was director of the CIA, quote, intelligence agencies. Gates was director of the CIA. Intelligence agencies are moral dirt, hated the world over for torture, murder, and destabilization of countries, leading to hundreds of thousands of deaths. The KBG, Mossad, CIA, Stasi, Savak, they're all the same. A man who presides over torture and murder should not speak of decency. He has none. Nor is it easy to believe that Gates feels the slightest sympathy for the dead kid or for his family. If you don't want kids to die in Afghanistan, don't send them there. He does. How sorry can he be? It could almost make you turn against the war. Some 6,000 American kids have died like this, the photographs carefully hidden by the press. The Pentagon has killed many, many more Afghan and Iraqi civilians, and the number of permanently disabled Americans is far higher. Today I find a column on antiwar.com by Joe Galloway, whom I remember from UPI Saigon, entitled, "The War in Afghanistan is Not Worth Another American Life." I agree. Nor another Afghan life. They did nothing. Another headline notes that the Condor Legion, the U.S. Air Force, killed 95 Afghans in another witless airstrike. These days, we are the Nazis. Why then is he so angry at having the war photographed? Easy. Spin control. Spin is so very important in war these days. While America is only barely a democracy, still, if the public, the great, sleeping, acquiescent, ignorant beast, ever gets really upset, the war ends. The Pentagon is acutely aware of this. It remembers its disaster in Asia. The generals of today learn nothing militarily from Vietnam. They are fighting the same kind of war as stupidly as before. But they learn something more important. Their most dangerous enemy is the American public. You, me. Defeating the Taliban isn't particularly important or even desirable. No war means fewer promotions and fewer contracts. But while the Taliban cannot possibly defeat the Pentagon, the American public can. Photographs are death to a war, boys and girls. They can asphyxiate a war faster than roadside bombs can ever dream. Gates does not want the sprawling, somnolent, inattentive beast, the public, to see what his wars really are. In wars, there are many enlightening things to see. For example, the Marine with a third of his face and half a lung going, as Red Gunch rolls out of his mouth and he drowns in his blood. Ruined or dying teenagers whimpering the trinity of the badly wounded, mother, wife, and water. The brainshot guy jerking like an epileptic as he tries not to die. Ever see brain tissue from gunshot? I have. It makes a pink spew across the ground like strawberry chiffon. Gates does not want you to see this. You would puke, buy a bottle of bourbon, and take to the streets. He knows it. CBS would end these wars in a week if it aired what really happens. Gates cannot afford to let the dam break. PR is all. Thus, Bush forbade the photographing of coffins coming home, and the CIA ferociously resists the publication of photographs of torture. Professional sadists do things to people that would make you gag. Then there are the enlisted men. In these hobbyist wars, and to extent, even in peacetime, it is crucial to keep the enlisted from thinking. In some 3 decades of covering the military, I saw this constantly. If I went to Afghanistan today, as a correspondent, I could argue in private about the war with the colonel. If I suggested to the troops that they were being suckered, the colonel would go crazy. Next to keeping the public quiescent, keeping the troops and potential recruits bamboozled is vital. If a high school kid saw what awaited, if he saw the cartilage glistening and wrecked joints, he wouldn't sign up. Do I think that the press should publish such photos? Not yes, but hell yes, on afterburner. Every time an editor covers for the Pentagon, every time papers refuse to show the charred bodies, still, slowly moving, the dead children, the... never mind. The effect is to ensure that more kids will die the same way. And the press almost always does exactly this. We are a trade of whores and shills, except that whores give value for money. The press kills our children. Julie Jacobson sounds like that modern-day rarity. A reporter is distinguished from a volunteer flack. Bless her. I used to wonder whether women could hack it as comet correspondents. I no longer do. There are lots of them. I used to refer to smarmy, overgroomed, bloodthirsty office warts as pussies, saying that they lack balls. The anatomical reference no longer works. I note that Jacobson has more combat time than the aggregate of Bush II, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, Obama, Biden, Gonzales, Clinton, Perlman, Abrams, Crystal, Feith, Podhortz, Krauthammer, George Will, Dershowitz, and Gates. These men, if the word is appropriate, killed that kid. Jacobson just caught them in the act. Fred Reed, writing in his blog, Fred on Everything. Okay, guys. It's time for you to call in with your stories about Burning Man, if you care to do so. So anybody is welcome to call in now. The numbers in studio, 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. So you're welcome to call in now and share your experiences of Burning Man, either this year or past, or if you have any questions about Burning Man. And if we don't get any calls, then we will proceed with depressing you with more of what's going on in the world. So the in-studio numbers. Okay, we got a call. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Chamba, it's Sam Gorski.
Yes,
once
ma'am.
Once again,
did you go to Burning Man this year?
I did.
Oh.
I'm starting to adjust back to normal here.
Sam, you've never been normal. Don't try now.
Hey, it feels kind of good this year.
Good? Does it?
Yeah,
okay.
It feels kind of good to get back. I'm ready to take a year off next year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's always a beautiful experience. It's very taxing.
Yes, I took a year off this year, so I understand that exactly. What was your favorite experience this year?
My favorite experience was I participated a lot this year. I created a party on a Wednesday morning from 4 to 7 a.m., kind of like my first radio show on KVMR. And it was at a large, fairly large sound camp. And we served bacon and mimosas, and I played hippie music. It was awesome.
All right. At 4 to 7 in the morning.
Yeah, we got great responses. I played a lot of jam bands and Railroad Earth and, other such kind of artists. And it was just really interesting. I'm very sound sensitive out there. And, people aren't as sound and music sensitive as I am. So
okay.
It was great to give people that sound when they were floating around all the techno and electronic, and then coming out of that and hearing fiddles and soothing music and fun music like that. It was a great dynamic.
Sam, how many attended a party at that absurd hour of the morning?
Well, not many, but we had a nice crew.
Okay.
It was about 30 people.
Uh-huh.
Something
all
like
right.
that. We had a few passerbys. We were serving bacon, so it kind of...
Yeah. Now, this was at a sound camp, right?
This was at a 230 in Esplanade, which is Lester Village, this camp I've been in for... this is my fifth year with them, and they have a fairly large, not as large as the big one.
Yeah, well, the reason I bring this up is I don't want to frighten people from going to Burning Man because they think that they're trying to get to sleep, and they're going to be inundated with sound at 4 in the morning.
If you camp in certain spots, you will be. And
right. But
you
don't
have to camp in those
that's
spots.
That's the point I was trying to lead to.
There's so many wonderful, quiet, dark pockets.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back to them.
First you instigate the mayhem, then you want to escape from it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was definitely a year of, no matter how many years you go, you still have to watch out that you don't have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't expect the experiences that you've had previously to return. It's going to be a whole different thing.
Okay. I want to get on to other callers, but
okay.
first, how did this year differ from previous years, if at all?
I felt very, I was not very grounded. I found myself wondering what to do and being overwhelmed with all of the things there is to do out there. There's so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just stand there dumbfounded, like, what next?
Right, right.
So it was very,
total overwhelm.
It is overwhelming.
Okay.
All right.
Sam, thanks for
your comments.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR. I guess you gave up. Okay. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Excellent. Yeah, this is a baby sale. It's my third year out there, and it seems to get more and more intense each year.
Okay.
And it dawns on you, like, what it is out there. And then on the way home, I kind of realize it's like a form of enhanced interrogation for up at late hours in the night all the time. You've barely fed or have rare amounts of water and loud music played at all hours of the night. And then possibly psychotropic drugs added to the mix.
Okay.
And you realize what your mind, body, and soul really were all meant to be about.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your favorite? Let me interject here again, lest we dissuade potential visitors to Burning Man. We're hearing this fellow's experience, and that could be your experience, or you could have a completely different experience. I know people that have gone out there, kept reasonable hours of sleep, fed themselves very well, and had a very mellow, easygoing time. So that's one of the incredible things about Burning Man is you can do it any way you want to.
Yeah.
As long as you don't hurt someone else.
Exactly. And there's like a few points of coalescence, like the man and then the temple burn and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's all your own real trip out there, no matter what you want to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And you meet up all sorts of amazing people. A guy I cab next to, Stumpy, and just cruising around with him. And you're just like, you run into people and... You're amazed. You can go out there totally alone and try to remember where your friends are. And, you meet new people the whole way through.
Right. Did you experience any violence when you were out there?
No, the only violence was the guy next door who had his generator on all day long. But
okay.
other than that, no, everything was real cool. And mm-hmm. I was out by like 9:30 and Kinship, and they were playing music out that way. But I mean, you could go like 100 yards down the opposite way, and the music's on, and it's just, you see so many folks out there mm-hmm. just enjoying themselves and all sorts of cool stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's amazing, and I ended up getting a ticket from a girl. It was only 19, and it was her first time out there, and I could only imagine what she experienced out there. She's like, yeah, I did a report for my speech class on Burning Man, and I figure I go to stay the hell with my parents and go head out there, and you got to do that sometime. It's one of those things you'll never experience anywhere else. And I think it's mostly with the playa, too. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was a great year. It was windy the whole time, though.
Oh, was
that
it?
That was a little heavy, though. See, it's just constant, almost like up until the burn. They barely made it for the burn. But yeah. Hopefully we'll see you out there next year, though.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Anybody else that wants to call in with questions or comments about their experience at Burning Man, or maybe they haven't been there and have some questions, you're welcome to call in. 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hey, how's it going up? Yeah, I had a pretty amazing experience. Me and a few other people seen a UFO out there.
Wow.
A red beacon of light kind of floating around for a little while and then disappeared off into the distance. I think that had to have been about the most amazing thing I've probably ever seen.
Fantastic. I have to say that if I was in a UFO and I saw Burning Man from above, it might be the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I've often wondered when I was out there, what would this scene look like from above? Must be incredible.
Hey, thanks, man. You take care.
All right, you too. Thanks for the call. Okay, the time is 12:30 in the p.m. You're listening to KVMR-FM, broadcasting out of Nevada City, California. The name of the show is Rabble Rousing. Your host is Chambalane, and this is our annual post-Burning Man show, wherein listeners who have visited Burning Man either this year or previous are welcome to phone in with their comments, and people can phone in with questions as well. It's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hey, Chama. This is Clyde from Winters.
Yes.
I met you out there after the Critical Tits Parade one time. Gave you a big hug, and I go to the other festivals. But a couple years ago, we were watching a total eclipse of the moon. And next thing you know, the man's on fire early. It was like 1 in the morning, 2 o'clock, Tuesday.
Ah, that was last year, yeah.
Yeah, was it last year? I think it was the year was it the year before?
Last year was when they burnt the... Well, don't quote me on everything. Just go on with your story.
But,
who knows?
But, you know, here we were enjoying this total lunar eclipse. And,
right.
This is a guy in my camp that upstages that eclipse and makes napalm, stuffs it in the arm of the man, climbs up, sets it on fire. He gets caught, and he served a couple of years in prison for it.
This was a guy that was in your camp?
Yeah.
So did you know him?
Yeah, I've known him for like 8-9 years, and he had his picture on the front page of the Chronicle.
Oh boy. Well, I guess
people wanted to kill him, but we had people in our camp that actually had T-shirts pre-made that says, Paul Addis is God. Was that okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So these people in the camp knew ahead of time that he was going to do that.
They must have, because they had those T-shirts.
Right.
You know?
Why else would they have those T-shirts? Bizarre.
Poor guy. Yeah, it was just amazing, because hundreds of people running out to the man thinking, it's going to burn, let's enjoy it right now.
Sure.
And it took them 20 minutes to get the fire truck out there and put it out, but you know, they finally got it out.
Wow.
They'd take it all apart and rebuild it. It was ready to go by Saturday. But,
yep.
And then Paul Addis was arrested, and then he got bailed out. I heard he even got back on the playa before the event ended. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, worried.
That's
a lot
bizarre too. Wow.
So, anyway, it's you just never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Just when you think.
Were you out there this year?
Yeah, it's my 13th year.
Okay, what was your favorite thing this year?
This year, you know, just some of the music in Center Camp was really good. You know, I like all kinds of music, and there's some kind of a gypsy jazz thing going on. These girls and their clarinets and horns, and then they got up and started dancing to their own music, and
mm-hmm.
it was just really high energy. I think it was Wednesday in Center Camp. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a greeter shift, and that's always fun, to greet people as they come in through the gate.
Oh, okay, you're one of the greeters.
Yeah, I just do one shift.
Okay, uh-huh.
So, but that's enough, because, you know, it's 4 hours out there in the hot sun.
Oh, yeah.
People give you stuff, you know, beer and food, and then you greet them, and you get them to lie in the dirt and make a dust angel and scream at the top of their lungs, you know, if they're pliable.
The indoctrination to Burning Man.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, so anyway, that was another good year under our belt.
Excellent. All right, thank you for your call.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, the lines are open. Anybody else that wants to call in with their experiences at Burning Man, either this year or previous years, or perhaps questions about Burning Man, you're welcome to call in. 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And if nobody calls in, then we will assume that you've done your thing and we will go back to regular rabble-rousing. So anybody else want to call in with questions or comments? Guess not. Yep. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Yes. How long does Burning Man go for? When does it end?
Sounds like you're in a carpentry shop.
Sort of.
Okay. Burning Man is scheduled for the weekend of Labor Day. So it ends on Sunday night, even though this year Labor Day was on Monday. And it starts the previous, I want to say, Saturday night. It might be Monday.
It goes for the majority of the week.
Majority of the week, yeah. Now, if you are a member of a theme camp, then they let you go in early to set up your theme camp. But if you're just a regular participant, then I believe it's Saturday night, Sunday morning, that you can enter. So, yeah,
right.
it's about a week.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and then a lot of people don't go for the full week. I know when I go out there, I'm good for about half a week, so I usually go out there about Wednesday.
Too much alkali?
Pardon?
Too much alkali?
Too much of everything. It's just sensory overwhelm. And that's one of the things about Burning Man, is that each person has to learn to pace themselves. You have to learn how much sleep you require, how much food you require, how much liquid you require, how much sensory input you can stand. And there's plenty of places to get away from the sensory input. You can go out on the fly and be totally by yourself. But it's one of the lessons of Burning Man, is that each person learns to monitor themselves. So that's one of the lessons there. It's funny because there are between 40 and 50,000 people out there, so it's a group experience, and at the same time, it's very much an individual experience.
Hmm.
So, there we are. Okay, we got more calls coming in. Anything else you'd like to say? Hello? Guess not. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi there. It was also my 13th year out there, so it was rather interesting to hear the caller before this last one who
right.
said it was his 13th year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience. But I wanted to comment about the guy who had done the burn that year of the eclipse, and that people would make up T-shirts saying he was God. I found that shocking, because that man could have seriously injured, or worse, could have actually killed people.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it a bit disturbing that anyone would find it in any way amusing or anything to be envious
or to adulate. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Point well taken. Okay.
I think this year, though, was a very beautiful year. I believe there were no deaths, and I didn't even hear of any injuries, so I hope that's true.
Oh, terrific. And how many people were out there, do you know?
43,000.
43,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other comments? Okay, thanks for your call. It's your turn. You're live on KVMR. Hello? Hello? You're live on KVMR. I guess you're not. Hi, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hello there.
Yes, you're live on KVMR.
Hi. Yeah, I had a great experience this year. It was one of those kinds of experiences. I was one of the people that was, like, not actually going to go to the burn this year.
Okay.
And there's always a lot of, like, you know, every year when the burn comes around, there's like, if you haven't planned on going, there's always that wave of tension that rides up in your life around all your friends getting ready for the burn and all the
excitement. I'm gonna miss something. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Total FOMO.
Yep.
Setting in. And so all this week, you know, there was like actually a bunch of folks that I know of that didn't go to the burn this year. And so people were like on Facebook and kind of spun out and sad and expressing all different kinds of things.
Yep.
And I was really content just to be at home and relaxing.
Yep.
And then Friday night, a good friend of mine shows up on my doorstep with 2 free tickets in the Burning Man and says we're going to leave in 20 minutes. And so I took the next 5 hours to actually pack my things and got up to the burn, got up to the prior around 12 o'clock Saturday.
Wow.
And yeah, ensued to have a pretty great time. It was definitely interesting coming at that moment when everyone already has quite a rhythm of collective energy moving together, you know?
Yep, yep.
But then was able to just kind of tap into it and take a little ride for a couple of days, and it was great.
Fantastic. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for sharing your experience.
You're welcome.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Okay, so if anybody wants to call in with comments or questions, the in-studio numbers are 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hi, Chamba. This is John. I've never been to Burning Man, but I did help sort of talk a person through her hesitance to go. This friend of mine, his wife, he goes every year, and she's Polish. And she hasn't been in this country that long. And she was concerned that she would survive Burning Man. And I said,
all are.
Yeah, but I told her that she would. And I explained, like I've explained to many people before, that that both reality and clothing are optional, but she would have a very good time. Now, I haven't talked to her since she got back, so
uh-huh.
It'd be interesting to see what she thought of the experience.
Now, it'd be wonderful if she could phone in.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for the show, and, you know, this is Burning Man show is always something to look forward to.
Oh, thanks very much.
Okay.
You have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Oh, hi, Jumbo. Burning Man was a good experience.
Yeah?
I've been about seven times now.
Okay.
And this year was a full moon on Thursday night, it was.
Right.
A lot of good energy.
Hmm.
Thursday night. I stayed in the alternative energy zone, which we gave tours through the zone showing the different solar applications that we use and also the cookings in the ovens. And the real magic of Burning Man, I believe, is at night. When you go out on the play and all of the art cards are lit up, and they actually look like dragons. They don't look like they're on trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They actually look like these fantastic figures. And that's all part of Burning Man. And I've made the observation that over the years, the Burning Man people, they come more in RVs now and less camping and... there are fewer costumes and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a changing and evolving process.
Okay. Uh-huh. Very good point.
And it's really, it's one to watch, and I think that it will evolve even further.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which direction, but all the guns are gone and the dogs are gone. That was a long time ago.
Right.
But if no one's been, they should go not as an observer, but as a participant.
Fantastic.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks for your call. Let me piggyback on that by mentioning that for most people, their impression Burning Man, it's just one huge party. And it is. It's the largest party on the planet, without question. But at the same time, the gentleman that just phoned in was talking about his theme camp, which was alternative energy. So there's a lot of educating that's going on there, too, in many different regards. And... for instance, their idea of presenting alternative energy, they're presenting it to an audience that could be 45,000 people. So there's a lot going on there. Okay, caller, it's your turn.
Hey, what's up? I had a great time at Burning Man this year. It was my first year. And
my two favorite things this year was, one, the Camp Tidy Whitey Party, where over 500 pairs of Tidy Whiteys were given out. We had a huge block party.
What is Tidy Whitey?
You're not familiar with Tidy Whitey? DVDs, Hanes, Frivolum, et cetera, et cetera?
I guess I'm showing my ignorance on air, aren't I?
It's a type of underwear garment.
Okay.
Right. But the Tidy Whitey Party was fantastic, and it really was a great way to bring our neighborhood together. But by far the best part of Burning Man this year for me was the kaleidoscope out on the fly. It was a huge walk-in kaleidoscope, and it was hard to find, but as soon as you found it, it was just amazing. You got to walk inside the kaleidoscope, and the actual participants that walked inside the kaleidoscope wore the art that was being made.
Mm.
And there was a huge wall you could draw on and make your own patterns inside the kaleidoscope, and it just blew my mind. It was amazing.
Okay, and let us... let listeners know that whoever built that, or whichever group built that, that was their gift to everyone else. They received nothing for that.
Yeah. Local. Penn Valley kid. Colby Couts built it.
Oh, really? What's his name?
Colby Couts.
Colby Couts?
Kalk.
Kalk.
Yeah.
All right. Kudos to Colby Kalk.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for your call. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi there.
Yep, you're alive.
Okay.
And your voice might be breaking up, so let's tell us what your experience was at Burning Man. Hello? Okay, looks like we've lost the signal. Get in a better location and try calling in again. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hey, me again. Decided to go at 6 p.m.
Your voice is breaking up.
Oh.
I think cell phones might be the ruination of talk radio. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to hang up on you because your voice is breaking up. Climb a tree or something. Okay, 15 minutes to go. Anybody that has any more comments or questions about Burning Man, you're welcome to call in 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And we'll give you a couple of them. Okay, here we go. Caller, you're live on KVMR.
Hey, Tomba. I've been to Burning Man a couple times. It's something everybody should experience at least once. But I thought it was extraordinary, the guy who called in saying that he saw a UFO. I've been watching him for the past year pretty consistently out here from they're pretty consistent over the ridge, and they mimic stars, and they kind of undulate. And if you get a pair of binoculars, you can watch them, and it just seems like something that we need to take more notice of and explore more. So
let me play devil's advocate just for a moment. How do you know that they're not a satellite or a star?
Well, once you see them, it changes your life. The first time I saw two of them was in the last winter outside my window. I had a candle on in my room, and the curtain was open, and I saw two of them playing, kind of like birds would play in the sky. They moved that quickly and that, you know, just every direction.
Erratically.
Very quickly, and they went past my pine tree on my property, and I was stunned, and I thought, well, that's not like anything I've ever seen in my life, and it was silent. It doesn't make any noise either.
Okay.
And then I got up, and I went out to the lookout point with my binoculars, and there were three of them that they were parked over sort of in this big triangular-shaped field sort of across the ridge, and they were in a pyramid form. And I thought, oh, my God, this is crazy, you know.
They were on the ground at that point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they were over by the water station where that big white pipe comes out of the side of the mountain. I think it's called Crocker Station. It's the water that's coming from, you know, the higher elevation.
Mm-hmm.
But
where exactly are you located?
I'm in Penn Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, you've actually been to my place one time, a barbecue for Barbara Marciniak. I don't know if you remember it, but we did a little ceremony out at that lookout point. And I just wondered if you would be interested in exploring this further, maybe on your show. It could be very interesting. There was a gentleman on KVMR at one point that had a guy named Marshall Vian Summers on his book, Allies of Humanity. Fascinating information about, you know, what's really happening and how to understand it and how we really have to come together as a, as the human race, because these they're supposed to be lower spiritually oriented, and they're very interested in the resources here. And so I think it's important that since people are seeing them more and more, that we pay more attention and begin to understand and learn more about it.
Sure, sure. Okay, so one thing you can do is if you see them in the future, why don't you email me and let me know? And I can pass that on to listeners.
Oh, yeah, they're out there all the time. Just get your binoculars and look for undulating stars. And it, they usually get closer at around 4 in the morning when they think everybody is sleeping.
Okay.
But they're basically fixed. They don't move. They don't move like a satellite. If you look at them with a pair of binoculars, you'll see that they have green, yellow, and red undulating lights, and they're fixed. And there's usually more than one. And they vary in regard. In the summertime, when there's a full moon, they won't be in the eastern sky where the full moon rises. They'll be more in the northwestern sky. But in the wintertime, they love the full moon because the nights are much darker and longer, and they come out. They like it. They like the light. Anyway, I've been watching them for really almost a year now, and they are here.
Well, thank you for alerting us.
Yeah.
Right. So is there any particular quadrant of the sky we should look at? You say 4 in the morning is probably the best time to see them. Any particular direction in the sky?
Yeah, they're in the eastern lower part of the sky, often northeast. Very rarely have I seen them in the south, but my view here is more oriented to the northeast.
Okay.
But usually always the east.
Okay, thanks very much for the call.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Chamba.
Okay, bye-bye. Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hi there.
Hey.
Anyway, I was going to call about my burn, but I'm going to addendum to what the woman was just saying.
Right.
I've been looking up in the sky for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, your voice is starting to break up. You must be on one of those wonderful cell phones.
Yeah.
Well, keep trying, and we may have to terminate the call, but let's
okay.
Let's
well, just one. I've been witnessing those kinds of discussions for about 5 years, and they're over. You know,
I'm really sorry, but your voice is breaking up so badly that we can't understand it.
I'm
sorry. If you phone in the future, if you can possibly use a landline or get yourself in a place where you know the reception's good, it'll be less frustrating for you and for the listeners, okay?
Okay, got it.
Sorry about that.
Bye.
Caller, it's your turn. You're live on KVMR.
Hello?
You're live on KVMR.
Okay. The last guy that called, or the woman that called, may have been talking about two different phenomena, because if you've got a stationary star that is making all kinds of colors, it didn't sound like she was familiar with the fact that, like Sirius and some of the really bright stars, will early or late in the evening or early in the morning, they go through more dust in the atmosphere. And so they really are stars, and they blink all different colors of light, and with binoculars they're spectacular. But she was talking about things that where she saw them move, and I think that's the one she wants. The stationary stars that just change colors can be dust in our atmosphere.
Terrific.
I believe in both possibilities, but I just wanted her to hear that. And I think your last caller might have been trying to mention that.
God knows what the last caller was trying to mention, but thank you for clarifying it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
bye-bye. Caller, you're live on the air.
Well, it's Sam again. I just wanted to get back to that kaleidoscope.
Right.
I was really intrigued when the gentleman called in about the kaleidoscope he climbed into.
Yep.
On the playa at Burning Man.
Yep.
These are the simple gifts that that you wonder why you're in this harsh desert and you took this long road to get there, and you see this black thing, in the middle out there, you're like, what the heck is this? Who made this, and what does it do, and mm-hmm. whose dream was this? And, you know, we started making fun of it, and, you know, I had a dream to make a black fly a turd, you know? And then we realized you could climb into it and how beautiful it was inside, and you could fit 5-6 people in there, and those are the simple gifts, and that's why we put ourselves through so much beautiful agony to get there, and mm-hmm. it's those simple gifts, and they're very appreciated.
Very good point. And one quick thing is that wasn't in the Black Rock Village. That was out on the playa. How far did you have to bicycle or walk to get out to that?
It was basically, you know, you have the city's like a horseshoe.
Okay.
And in the inside, you know, the actual horseshoe or the street inside of that horseshoe is the inner playa. And then in the middle is the man. So between the man and the city streets is where a lot of the art is, and that's where this was located. We were actually on our way to Center Camp to look at to listen to some music and look at the gallery there.
Uh-huh.
And it was at night, and we were riding on our bikes, and we just said, "Hey, let's go look at something. Let's go experience.
Let's go look
art.
At that black turd in the middle of the desert."
Yeah, and yeah. we were looking for like the, you know, of course, the most beautiful thing catches your eye. Oh, well, let's go to that beautiful flaming lotus girl sculpture over there. It's all pink and pretty. And then you stumble over this playa turd, and you're like, what's this thing? And you're kind of laughing at it and gawking at it, and everybody, we stop to take a little break, drink some water, and, you know, after making fun of it for about 5 minutes, we realized there was a little velvet curtain, and when you walked in, you have to crawl in,
uh-huh.
and this it was this pod. And it's just amazing, you know, it's that you just, it was something you would not expect. And sometimes the darkest, the most unassuming things are the best gifts.
Uh-huh. And were you aware at the time that it was made by somebody in Penn Valley?
I had no clue, but it was my favorite thing out there.
Okay.
And I'm elated right now.
Okay.
And I live in Penn Valley, too.
There you go.
Synchronicity.
All right.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Okay, we're nearly out of time. If anybody wants to phone in, now's your chance. 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And this is your last chance to phone. Oh, we got one. Okay, caller, you're live on KVMR.
Yes, that was curious. I've never been to Naked Man, but what if you went up there with like a 10,000-gallon tanker and had it rigged up with pumps to make a shower for about an hour?
You would be God.
I kind of thought that.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that, huh?
Actually, people have done somewhat similar. People have had as their theme camp showers, providing showers for people, and people have also provided saunas. One of the things that you got to keep in mind, though, is BLM it's BLM land, and they are so strict that you would have to catch the water. You couldn't allow it to run off into the playa.
Oh, that'd be no fun at all then.
Yeah, well, you've got a whole year to engineer that. You've got half the idea already. Keep going at it, okay?
Yeah, this be like a 200-foot round shower.
Well, whatever. You've got the beginnings of an absolutely spectacular idea.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your program.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, we got time for one more. You're live on KVMR.
Yeah, I was with the Polish person who was the first timer.
Ah, the notorious Polish person. Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Let's see. So first, my experience.
Yes.
Was, it was like I saw the sacred and the profane.
All right.
You know, it was interesting for me to look at, you know, with a possible utopia there. What was the crap that we brought from there here?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use like the politics of dancing as a euphemism for something else that I can't say on the radio.
Yes.
Or classism. But it is also interesting just what crap did I bring there instead of being beautiful, especially as a first timer. But
oh,
to
wonderful.
The Polish person's experience, it was like, you know, my experience of her experience was she went in very tentatively.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like watching someone, like one day she just kind of like broke through.
She blossomed.
Yeah, and
the
it was
flower
beautiful
blossomed.
To watch. You
fantastic.
Know, like, I woke up this morning, her hair was all pink, she had an American flag upside down on the skirt,
all
and,
right.
you know, like
yep.
another thing. So anyway, it's great, and I think she had a great time.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for sharing that
sure.
with us. All right, you
bye.
Have a great day. Okay, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Thanks very much for your calls, and I hope that people have been encouraged to check out Burning Man next year.